You're listening to Around Comics, episode 115. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Monday episode, like this one, we go over the week in comic news, review our favorite books from the previous week, and take a look at what's coming out in the next week. I'm Christopher Niesman, and filling out the roundtable today are Brian Salazar.
Yo!
Tom Caters.
I know what you're going to like in the future.
And Scotty Young.
And I'm going to tell you.
You hate me, but in 5 minutes you'll fucking love me. Yeah. That's how
Touch my six pack.
Yeah. I have thighs like granite.
And you can see them through your jeans.
Through my jeans. Jim Lee style. I'm even cross-hatched. My knees are cross-hatched.
I've never seen
you know
it.
What, you know what other book is like that, where you can see the muscles through the jeans?
What?
Mouse Guard.
Oh. But they have a little puny.
They don't have
well,
jeans.
It's actually, it's Ultimate Mouse Guard. It's coming
out. Ultimate Mouse Guard.
With pouches.
Yes, everywhere. And raised seams.
All right. And you'll be able to pick that up at Borders. Not really. But this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, Saxon Kenzie and Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble upon much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's breakthrough series, Mouse Guard, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
I was thinking about this. I went to the Detroit Zoo, and they had an exhibit about polar bears, and it was 98 degrees outside. And as I was sitting there watching a polar bear sit on like dry brown grass dying in the heat, I often thought about what it must be like to come watch us record this.
Just ask Katie from
especially,
last week.
Yeah, especially the girlfriend of someone against her will.
Yeah, this so is, this sad is I missed
sad
that.
Sad for both her and us.
She did truly look sad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I kept really was rethinking the relationship.
I'm like, I'm just looking at her going, yeah, that ain't going to last long.
What was my girl doing while she was here?
Reading a comic.
Reading a comic.
Why?
That's, I got a train,
what
baby.
What was my girl doing when she never? She would not return my phone calls on a Friday night.
She runs and hides from you.
That's why we stick together.
I trained my woman because my abs are so sweet.
Casey's going to come in here and whip your ass for saying that.
She just called. Said, meet me. Moody's, baby. I want to wash
Moody's
some clothes.
Has the best
I was like,
hamburgers
wash some clothes.
In Chicago.
She said, yeah, on your abs.
Moody's is sweet.
You ever have a hamburger at Moody's?
Well, I live around the corner from
it. They're awesome.
Yeah. You guys want to go to Moody's after the show?
Sure.
It's really far from my
it's
home.
It's a, wait, what is
I
it?
Once spent 10 hours there drinking
waiting
sangria.
On your burger, probably, because no. The service is fucking terrible.
Drinking sangria.
All right, I don't want to go.
And then I fell asleep outside.
On the beautiful outside
what
porch. Speaking of outside porch, say something, Tom.
It's time for the news.
Time for the news.
Wire-to-wire comic book news.
All right, guys, right off the top here, the Elephant Men Wounded Animals hardcover has been resolicited. This was originally going to come out in March, but they bumped it to August because they wanted to make sure to have a beautiful Ladrone wraparound cover. So that's going to be coming to finer local comic shops and bookstores in August. So,
now, this is,
take a look for that.
This is a future stack thing, I think.
Wounded Animals... Is that the Elephant Men
that is,
current Elephant Men?
Because yes.
Elephant Men like
I'm so confused.
Yeah, Elephant
they have
Men
like
9, publishing.
Going out.
Yeah, you never know what is what and when.
Well, there,
so this
there's
is the current
there's
series.
There's the two Hip Flask hardcovers.
Right.
Okay.
Elephant Man.
And they
Man.
Were first, long time, like
long
yes,
time ago.
But
yes.
Elephant,
the hardcovers
about
didn't
four
come
or five
out
years ago.
Until recently.
Not the hardcovers, but the book.
Right. Yes, but Elephant Man is a pre-story before Hip Flask.
Everybody's too smart for me.
Right. And then they're doing another one, but this is the current.
Like this is going to be issues 1-7
okay,
of Elephant
that's
Man.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. I just like aminals, dude.
All right. Well, it's just kind of a shame that it's being pushed back a little bit, but you know, it's good stuff. So it's worth the wait.
And yes. That will retail for $24.99. It's 224 pages of hardcover
beautiful
goodness.
Beautiful drone painted. Loveliness.
Yes. So check out Elephant Man hardcover.
Do it.
Moving on, we've got some movie news. First of all, with The Dark Knight, they have some casting news.
Nope.
Looks like Michael J. White.
I thought this
Jai?
Was the dude that played Urkel.
He played Mike Tyson in the HBO Mike Tyson movie.
He was Spawn.
He was Spawn.
Yeah,
yes.
He played Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But he will be.
He's a horrible actor.
Yes, and he's very short. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
He's going to be playing the role of Gamble. A horrible name, but he is the Gotham criminal that is kind of rushed in to fill the void from Carmine Falcone being killed in the first movie.
He hasn't acted in a long time, so maybe he's boned up.
Oh, no, no. He's Unleashed, right? Have you seen not Unleashed?
With
what was the movie? Undisputed, the little prisoner movie.
Yeah,
with
Wesley Snipes.
Yes. There's a Undisputed 2.
And he's in
starring
it. Really?
Spawn himself.
Wow.
I haven't seen it, but you know what? I Netflixed it. It's on my Netflix.
Only you and Crank. Yeah. Only you and Crank.
Word up, Crank.
When are you
going to
be my Netflix buddy? Friend.
I don't do this fucking computer friend stuff. You want to be my friend? Come to my house. We'll play some Risk, and we'll get down, baby.
It's just another way for us to connect.
Transformers became the all-time record holder for Tuesday releases.
Oh,
what does that mean?
I have no idea.
God.
When it pulled down $4 million dollars.
You went and saw it,
didn't
you?
I went and saw it. I'm going to make a movie, and if... The record, it's going to beat the record for most money made at 11:35 on, I'm going to make up
biggest
a day.
Brunch,
Slee Day.
Biggest brunch
yes,
opening
yes,
ever.
Yes. I did see Transformers. I did see it.
And how was it?
It looks fantastic. And I'm a Michael Bay fan, by the way, so this isn't coming
love
from somebody who is anti-Michael Bay.
Bad Boys 2 is all I have to say, my friend. It's a terrible movie.
I said I'm a fan.
He did The Rock.
It doesn't mean you guys. We're all comic book fans. It doesn't mean there's not shit out there.
Hey, listen.
Shit movie.
I'm just giving them a fair and balanced view.
Yes, fair and balanced. But Bad Boys 2 is shit. The plot on Transformers, not good. The story itself, not good.
I'm going to say shocker.
Yeah, it's not good. But it
even
be,
by Michael Bay standards.
It shouldn't be shocking, though, because Transformers has a pretty
good
decent,
built-in story.
Built-in plot to follow. You could actually
Energon
build and make,
cubes, dude.
You can make it better. It is funny. The first hour, it's 2.5 hours. Doesn't need to be 2.5 hours. The first hour, pretty funny. Shia LaBeouf is fantastic. Then the robots come in.
I could deal with 90 minutes of robots fighting each other.
You think you can, and then maybe not so much.
But you're saying there's only like five?
Yeah, there's only five or six Autobots and only four or five Decepticons. So it's in.
Do they have the tape player?
Yeah, but he is a.
An iPod?
He's like a little boombox. And he's what I would consider a pet or something. Like, he does all the little mischievous shit. Yeah. So he's almost the comedy element.
But does he have the cassette tapes
that are
the bird and the panther?
The weirdest thing I thought was just like in Bad Boys 2 when Optimus Prime shoots a Haitian guy in the face.
But the landmine field,
is it better than
past that.
Is it better than Bad Boys 2?
And
since we've already sort of...
I don't know.
Bad Boys 2 is rewatchable.
It is rewatchable. Here's the thing about Transformers. Everybody is going, and I've already seen, everybody's going to say they loved it because there's a nostalgia factor attached to
Not
it.
Not me.
My biggest downsides to it, I did not hate it.
Right.
I just think that the story about the movie is about the Transformers. The story about the Transformers could have been better. The human side of everything makes sense. The story was very light, and the actual design of the Transformers, while pretty intricate and kick-ass,
also made for made it to be very hard to see what the hell was going on.
That was my concern.
Yeah, as soon as they start fighting, there is so many blurs of gadgets and tumbling around.
Too detailed?
I mean, it's so fast and intricate in the design that you can't tell what's happening here or there.
Well, you know, whenever we were on our way to the shop, Sal actually made a comment about 300.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, what I liked about 300... Well,
was the abs.
The abs and the sweet asses, but... the thing I have, like, the concerns... What I was concerned with the Transformers, exactly what you're saying, is that they made the Transformers look... so sort of realistic.
Right.
You know, like, you know, the cartoon, it's like, okay, they're blocky and real easily.
Chunky.
Yeah, you can tell what they are. Yeah. You can tell who they are. And but the ones they made for the film, you know, seeing the pictures, it was like they were so intricate and all this, you know, gears and pipes and all this stuff, that once they start moving around, it was going to be tough to tell what was going on. Because a lot of times in CGI-based movies, when action happens, it's so fast, it's hard. Right. And I was saying with 300, what I liked about it so much is that all the action parts, they slowed them all down so you could see all the
capture
cool
the
stuff.
Moment.
And now that can't work with every film.
No. But, I mean, I do, like, Transformers is definitely a thing where, like, every other 10
I don't know if you could shoot Transformers like that.
Yeah,
and
well,
get the
every
same
other
effect.
10 minutes you really
you
like it, and
it.
Then you really don't, I think, for
me.
Like, where I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And they did do some lighthearted stuff with the Transformers and the actual characters of Transformers making them funny as well without going campy.
Right,
they did a great job of skirting the line of adding humor without making it a joke to sit through.
Right.
It really, my biggest downside was just truly like Michael Bay had them like, oh, we're in the desert, and now I don't really have a reason to take them from Nevada to downtown LA, but I want robots to fight in the city. So, hey, we'll go hide this thing in the city. Like that, you know, as a plot device, you're like, God, that is so stupid. Why would you do that? So, plot wise, it's not the best, but I'm sure people.
But it was entertaining.
It.
You
did not hate it. I liked it better than Spider-Man 3.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Well, talking about nostalgia, there's definitely a nostalgia factor with Speed Racer, and the Wachowskis are working on that movie. And anyone that watches Speed Racer knows that Chim Chim was always getting in trouble, and that theme is staying true on
Chimps
the set.
Are the he devil's children?
He got into a fight with a off-duty Chicago police officer, and Chim Chim got shot.
But PETA is coming down on the Speed Racer set because apparently the chimpanzees have gotten a little out of control and actually bit one of the actors, child actors.
Oh, that's not good. You can get rabies.
Have you ever,
who knows what kind of disease some dirty, filthy chimp.
Have you ever gone to
We're going to lose our chimp listeners. Yeah. Stop.
Have you ever gone and really looked in the eyes of a chimp or a gorilla?
Yeah, a gorilla I have.
It's like looking at every horrible thing you've ever done with a living animal in your life.
Like
and
Ghost
just the sadness.
And
the
pissed at you. It's really sad. It's just like, oh.
I often felt like animals at the zoo, you just look, it's just like their face is just full of sadness. And
because the
like,
gorillas are so much like looking at a person.
Right,
so then
kinda,
you look at
them
and it's sort of
a
depressing.
Real sad person. It's like, for generations we've been locked up. I don't even know what freedom is. I've never experienced it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it for
so
taking a majestic...
So congrats to the ape that bit Vince Vaughn.
All right, our last movie news.
Speed Racer, it's going to have a cool car, so don't worry.
And the Wachowskis are doing it, so you know there'll be some kind of 360 fucking chip shit. Like the chip's going to jerk off, and then it's going to be, but it's going to be in bullet time.
No, it's going to be chip throwing shit in bullet time.
Yeah, bullet time.
All right, our last movie news, Captain America and Thor. It looks like there have been...
I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, scripts have been turned in on both movies, and the guy doing the Captain America script is David Self, who I believe did the screen adaptation of Road to Perdition.
Oh, okay. Why is it that in Hollywood it's like, okay, we're going to make a movie based on comics, on a comic book character, and a mainstream, you know, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's been, you know, 4 bazillion stories told by these guys that write comics, but we need somebody that, A, has never written a comic, And B, most of the times has never even written a friggin' movie script to write a new script based on these characters that have existed. I mean, I understand there's some differences between writing a comic
book. I think it's
book,
a comfort level with the
writing,
studios, would be my guess.
I mean, there's also, and I don't know if this is the case in every way, but there's also unions in Hollywood, right? I mean, as an artist, I've run into roadblocks and had to do some flipping
damn
through
unions.
Hoops. Because of the illustrator unions and the animators unions and the writers guilds and the directors guilds and stuff like that. But I think at the same time, it is a different beast of trying to... when you write a comic, you have sometimes all the time in the world to tell this big story. For this type of medium...
you got to fit it in 2 hours.
And you try to fit all that,
but,
stuff. Not that
but at least get them involved. It's like, oh, well, have we seen like these amazing script writers pumped out these award-winning scripts for Hollywood versions of comic
and
books?
And it's like just like anything else, right? It's a boys' club. I mean, I'm not saying all men.
It's what you know, and I think it's probably a comfort level with the studio.
I don't even know if the comfort level as much as it is like, what's up, homie? You know, come over here and write my...
Right.
It's, well, comic books are no different. I mean, it's this. That's one of the main reasons it's so hard to get a job in comics is... It's all about knowing somebody, you know, and it's so if they can throw the little the loot around their little circle, why not?
Why not?
You know?
Do it.
They're not gonna go. Like.
All right, well, on to more serious news here. Uh-oh. Reported over at Heidi McDonald's The Beat. No, this is a great marketing. I had to throw this in there. 7-Eleven is teaming up with the Simpsons movie, and they have decided to turn several 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
I want to go check it out.
And I'm not even a Simpsons
out.
Guy. I'm not one of these guys that worships at the altar
that's
of
a,
the Simpsons.
It's a good promotion.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's
if
fantastic.
You're gonna do something. For a movie like that, at least have some fun with it, and that's a pretty good promotion.
They're doing it with a dozen 7-Elevens, and those stores will carry such items as Buzz Cola, Crustios cereal, and Squishies. And there's actually one in Chicago, guys. It's the locations that they have are Burbank, California, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Lake Buena Vista, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver, and Washington, D.C. And the one here in Chicago is, of all places, West 63rd Street. So it's a little bit of a trek for
us. What's that neighborhood like over there?
I wonder if that'll get a, like, raise controversy, because it's pretty awesome and slightly racist.
Well, you got Abu or Apu, you know, that's kind of, you know... stereotypical.
Yeah, well, I wonder if you know.
I don't go to the numbered streets.
It's the Simpsons.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I don't like that side.
Ooh, South Side. But I actually saw pictures of, and it is a Quickie Mart. It is an awesome marketing campaign. Yeah.
They changed the look of the inside of the store.
No, the outside is a Quickie Mart.
That's sweet.
That's pretty cool.
I'm gonna do that to my.
I saw the previews when I went and saw Die Hard. I went and I
mean
saw Live Free or Die Hard, which I really enjoyed. But I saw the previews for the Simpsons movie. It was kind of weird, like seeing it on a big screen like that, because the art really, you know, it's like they didn't try and like ramp it up or anything. You know, I mean, it's the Simpsons. It's the same Simpsons you watch on TV. But seeing it, you know, on this wide screen with Dolby surround sound was kind of interesting.
I'll never forget when I was in third grade.
You were molested.
I was in third grade, and I don't want to talk about
by a 7-Eleven manager.
I mowed like 3 extra lawns 1 week so I could buy a Bartman T-shirt.
Nice.
We were talking about that this week. Because I mowed it when I was in third grade, I mowed 3 extra lawns to buy a Bartman T-shirt. That's why, as a 30-year-old man, I don't want the Simpsons anymore.
Album of music they came out with what was it? I had the CD when I was a kid.
The Simpsons?
Oh, the Simpsons with the Bart rap.
Yeah.
We just high-five.
Well, I was talking about, I was saying to Chris, it's like, it's pretty amazing, you know, because back then, you know, when Simpsons were everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, CDs and T-shirts and everywhere you turned, it was Simpsons.
It's a franchise that got oversaturated.
Yeah, you would think any other sort of commercial you know, project like that would have burnt out. You know what I mean? It's like after that huge blast.
I haven't
just
watched
like,
the show in 7 years.
But it's still around. It's and people still watch it. And I, still, I don't
well,
really
it definitely
watch
helped launch. I mean, it was definitely right in there at the beginning of the Fox Network.
Yeah.
I mean, Married with Children launched Fox.
That show has almost been on for 20 years, guys.
Well, are you counting even the time
Tracy
that
Tracy
the Tracy Ullman show?
That shit was funny.
It's going to stay on long enough to pass Gunsmoke, is my prediction.
Wow.
Is Gunsmoke
it's only got a couple more years.
Really? Warren Green and Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
The Giants
of
TV.
I mean, the Simpsons, I mean, like, the ratings aren't as awesome as they used to be, but not bad enough that Fox won't milk.
Oh, yeah, every last night.
They tried to take the Simpsons out of the 5:30 slot here in Chicago in syndication, and the hate mail I believe they even had, like... 5:30 and 6:30. They even had, like, whenever they took it off, the hate mail that came in, and they had, like, billboards around Chicago that said, oh, we heard you, and it's back, Simpsons at 5:30. So. Danielle Corsetto has announced that Girls with Slingshots is going to now go to a 5 days a week. That is her new full-time job, so congratulations to Danielle Corsetto for making Girls with Slingshots such a success. You
does
can check that out at girlswithslingshots.com.
Is she going to eventually pull a Jim Davis where it'll just be a character complaining about whatever they complain about?
As long as it's not like Kathy, I'm okay.
You're okay with
why you hate women, dude?
Monday Jam? Yeah.
Why you hate women?
Dude, sometimes it's hard to buy a fucking bathing suit that fits,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
It's embarrassing.
Tell me about it.
The worst part is when you can't get, like, the bottoms might fit,
but the top
doesn't.
Because you have a huge ass, but your breasts are small.
Oh, good Lord. Now you hate women. I love a voluptuous woman.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Now we have some comic book.
Some real we
have some
no offense to webcomickers.
No offense to Kathy.
Which is not our specialty.
When in doubt... add Batman to a book and it will sell, and DC is doing just that. The Outsiders are adding their original founding member.
I might actually buy it.
Yep, later on this year.
And the Outsiders?
Yep. Yeah. Batman
and John Winnick isn't
you
writing
DC
it.
Zombie.
He just sits and talks.
Who?
Batman? Yeah.
In the issue? How do
when
you know
he talks
this?
About...
I'm behind the curtain. Baby.
Hopefully,
you guys are clicking your goddamn ruby slippers. I'm back pulling the levers.
You're like the Gnome King in Return to Oz.
You know it.
So the Outsiders is wrapping up at what issue 50 is going to be the last
again
49.
How many times have they restarted Outsiders?
Oh God,
it's been
this goes back to
three,
the 80s.
Three times?
This goes back to originally when the Outsiders started. It was Batman and the Outsiders and went like about 25 issues.
Right.
And then it just became the Outsiders.
Right.
Then Outsiders came back recently in the last couple of years,
yeah.
and now it's going to be Batman and the Outsiders.
Good Lord.
Which I don't think it's necessarily bad, because I like the idea a little bit, and I'm sort of intrigued if they change up the creative teams. Like, I'm okay with Judd Winnick, but there's not a lot of guys that can write 49 issues of one book and make it really... compelling for an entire 49 issues. And I think this is a book that could benefit from somebody else
getting on it,
hold of it and changing up the pace.
I think the problem with The Outsiders and why it keeps changing is that it's got a really good name, but...
Not a suite of characters.
Yeah.
It's always been an outsider's cast. It's always been the B-list characters, and sometimes that can make for a great book. But Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, the B-list characters are usually characters that not everybody is interested in. So the best idea is to throw a lot of characters that nobody's interested in together.
Yeah.
It's like a giant tub of not interested.
Sales-wise, it doesn't work. But sometimes, like, it's just as far as, like, a cool story. Sometimes it does work. But sales-wise, it very rarely
does. It rarely works. Yeah.
It rarely works.
It's like, take all the worst TV shows. Combine them.
Not even the worst TV shows. Take the worst characters from all the TV shows
and throw them in their own show.
Yeah. Dude,
it's like road rules.
You tell me you don't want to see Radar O'Reilly from MASH shove...
don't say he's not the
with Chachi,
the bad character.
With Popsy Weber.
I'm sorry. Jamie Clinger.
Clinger and Potsy Weber.
Clinger and Potsy pushing each other.
That'd be sweet.
And then Batman's coming in.
And Batman. Then Batman. But Adam West Batman.
What do you guys remember the DC teaser image for Countdown several months ago?
Yes. Sure. I've studied it. I've
deconstructed it.
Yes. With your hypotheses. I know all the answers. I'm just not telling.
Well, they know that a lot of people did come up with a bunch of the answers, and some of those have now been revealed in the DCU. So they've come out with another teaser image, and want to chit-chat about this a little bit, mostly to get Tom's thoughts on this. And if you haven't seen the teaser image, you can
just
go,
to put it on.
We've got a thread about it at our site, but the
Luther's
center
crying. Why?
With blood on his hands.
Yeah, Metropolis will get destroyed or something.
Luther's outfit is fucking awesome.
That's the early 80s. That is
the Legion of Super or Legion of Doom.
It well, it's the
Scotty.
I know what it is. I had the toy where you click the knees together and then punch.
Well, it's comic book and religion savvy person put together that the DC teaser image is
reminiscent of
The Last Supper.
You see the Penguin, the Trickster. One thing I haven't noticed is if you look to the left of Luther, you see the black skiers.
Yeah, I was going to ask about it. I'm like, what's with the black skis? What is that?
Is there a skiing accident?
He's a new god who's like the new god of death who always shows up.
The black skier. That's the best skier. I could come up with. The new god of death.
Dude, it's fucking Kirby. Yeah, you should just fucking love it, matter what.
All right, sure.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Why would this be the last? I don't get the Last Supper.
Well, they're set. It looks like
just
they're
the
setting
imagery,
Luther
the,
up as a martyr.
Because if you look at those,
I mean,
those are okay. This side,
The Last Supper table with like three levels.
Look at these characters here and these three characters.
It works
here.
Better on the right.
It's separated by levels. But
well, I think what's interesting.
And then if you bring in the Da Vinci Code, you got the whole Mary Magdalene.
Where does Luther's package fit in on the Last Supper painting?
Under the table. If there was a table.
Oh,
the original Last Supper didn't have a table, and Jesus' huge package.
Center.
Oh, come on. Everyone knows Jesus was
He's Jesus. He's the Jesus. Son of God.
Daddy Longstroke.
Exactly.
There's Kingdom Come Superman in the teaser. And
Roger Kitter.
Is he holding Ray Palmer, or is that a Sinestro ring?
That's a Captain Adam. That's the Captain Adam symbol.
Okay. He also has the position of Judas, if you're going with the Last Supper.
So we'll see whatever happens.
Wait, where?
Right there. I wish this was a video.
I wish this is a video podcast so we could show.
You got Catwoman.
How is that the position of Judas?
Because he's in the position that Judas.
That's not Judas.
Judas,
yeah.
Has,
Judas?
No, Judas has the money on the other side of the table.
That's Judas talking to Mary.
Good Lord.
And that's the Joker.
Oh, Joker's Judas.
And I'm like a heathen, and I know that.
Sorry, I got my apostles wrong.
Which one was Jesus doing?
Judas is the one holding the.
Well, it would be Catwoman
money.
In this.
You're right. You're
it would be Catwoman.
Holy
in this.
Shit! So Luther's gonna have sex with Catwoman.
You guys all need the Lord.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
You know, anyway, I think it's kind of neat that DC's doing this, though. I mean, for, like, you know, people that really get into that kind of stuff. It's super neat, nerdy stuff, but it's kind of cool if you're super nerdy. So, there you go.
A Scotty showed up with his GoBot collection, and that's not all.
Yeah, because I know people hated the GoBots, but fuck that.
Oh, I can't wait for news from San Diego.
We're talking about pictures of things.
Yeah. I did have one other. It wasn't. It was kind of a news story.
Something came out today.
Yeah, there was just a story on CBR that I really liked, and I actually posted a thread about it on the forum. But it was about a group of people that dress up in costumes, cosplay guys that they or guys and girls that dress up in superhero costumes, and they kind of all met at different conventions, and they decided to form a charity group called the Superhero Group, and they spent the last weekend at the Shriners Kids Hospital in Southern California, just taking time to try and cheer up some sick kids. So I just thought that was probably the best use of people dressing up in superhero costumes that I'd ever heard.
And none of them looked completely inappropriate.
No,
there were no bizarro, like...
Yeah, but I just thought it was a cool thing, and I don't know, I just wanted to kind of spread that word about that. So they have a website, a MySpace page. It's myspace.com/superherogroup. So go there and tell them how awesome they are for doing that.
If you're a stripper, try and become friends with them.
There you go.
God, lately.
All right, well, that will take care of our wire-to-wire comic book news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right, it's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters, what is at the top of your stack?
It was a tough choice. I'm going to break my own rule and mention something else. The fact that Action Comics came with 3D glasses was totally fucking rad. And that if you haven't had a chance to look at the 3D version, it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I have to admit, it was pretty sweet.
It was fucking awesome. I'm not down for that nerdy shit, but that was fucking sweet.
I was just like, every comic should be this way after watching
3D comics.
It was,
I want my life to look like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome, I have to say.
But my top of the stack would have to be Scalped number 7.
I wish they'd put that out in trade right now.
There's an ad for a hardcover.
I want to read it so bad.
Yeah. What I loved about this book is that when it, and it sort of reminds me of my reaction to The Other Side when it first came out. My first reaction was The Other Side was sort of just like, what was the Full Metal Jacket? Mm-hmm. Like literally to me, the first like third of the first book, I was like, God, this is Full Metal Jacket. Right. I read the first issue of Scalped. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It's a guy who's undercover, who's not, you know, isn't fit in. I'm like, okay, I've read this. But as you get farther and farther along, you sort of get the idea that it's not so black and white with all the characters. Your main character of, you know, Dashiell Bad Horse is sort of an insane asshole, you know, whose motives for doing things is just like to stalk this one chick, you know, and that's, he isn't doing it like because he has some sort of great sense of right or wrong. And a lot of this issue, number 7, deals with Red Crow, who is sort of like the very corrupt leader of the, you know,
kind of the kingpin,
who set up this casino. But you get this very great story about how his whole life. Because he used to be, you've gotten hints that he used to be very idealistic, and he was very radical politically, and he's compromised since then. So you get this great sense in this book that his whole life now, for like probably the last 20 years, has been him compromising to get to what he thinks is the best thing for his people. You know, so for, you know, Marvel fans, he's like the Iron Man of the Indian reservation. Yeah. He's like, he has this idea of what he thinks is the right thing to happen. He admits to like killing people, and he does all these murders.
He'll do whatever it takes
to do
what he thinks is right.
When you're first introduced to this character, he's really loathsome and you really hate him. But you read this issue and you sort of develop a weird sympathy for him because you realize he's a bad man, but everyone in this book is a bad person.
Right.
You know, and there are no good people in this book. Everyone's an ass. Everyone has their own, like, selfish reasons.
Yeah, the federal agents you want to hate.
And his selfish reasons aren't actually probably the worst of selfish reasons.
Yeah. They're actually more altruistic than some others.
Yeah, and Jason Aaron, R.M. Guerra's art is just amazing in this book. Just like
it is fucking sweet.
The last panel is just such an iconic image. I've loved this book. There's an ad for the first collection that's coming out. I believe it's a hardcover.
Oh, I can't wait.
it's really good. This book has
And don't forget Jock's covers.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
This book has exceeded my expectations. Because I had talked about previously, I had picked like issue 4 or 5, and I almost dropped it after the third issue because I was kind of like, I kind of see where this is going, and then the fourth issue was like, blew that all out of the water, and this, it keeps doing that. It keeps like expanding on this universe of
what you expect.
Jason Aaron
even after
Jason Aaron is a name to watch. If you haven't read his stuff, you should definitely check it out. He's one of the guys I'm really looking forward to chit-chatting with at the Wizard World Chicago, because I'm sure that Jason,
I mean, number 7 will, is such a sad story about such a person you're supposed to hate, but it's incredibly sad to look at this character, you know, who's obviously has always had the best intentions, but has done so many horrible things to achieve his goals. So, Scalped.
Very good.
Number 7.
Scalped.
I'll go ahead and go next.
No!
One of the books that
bullshit.
Just stays... Sky, do you want to go, Sky?
I'm kidding. God,
sensitive.
One of the books that just stays consistently good, it is always at the top of my reading list when it comes out, and has been for several years now, is the Punisher Max series by Garth Ennis. Last issue was the conclusion to the Widowmaker story arc with pencils by Lan Medina, Bill Reinhold, Chicagoan Bill Reinhold, doing ink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What up, Bill?
I didn't see that when I read it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And, of course, as always, wonderful covers by Tim Bradstreet. If you haven't been following the Widowmaker storyline, spoilers for this one, if you ever wondered what the people that the Punisher kills and what happens to the families of those people, this kind of takes a very hard look at that, and these very angry connected wives to these mob bosses and made men get together and come up with a plan to kill the Punisher, and
because he's killed all their husbands.
Yes.
Over time.
Over several years. And so they come up with this plan, knowing that his one major weakness is a weakness for women in distress. That's about the only redeeming quality that they see in the Punisher and his weakness. And so they, you know, zero in on that. You know, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of the story, but it was a really good look at the Punisher as a character, his ideals towards women and that weakness. And there's a woman that gets introduced in the story that takes on the Punisher persona to enact vengeance on these people that really ruined her life. And while the Widowmaker storyline was really good, I just more than anything want to call attention to the fact that the Punisher Max series has been consistently good from its inception, and it's the one Max book that I consistently go back to and read, and I think it's Garth Ennis at his best post Preacher. So Punisher Max number 49. It's the last of the Widowmaker story arc. If you're a fan of Garth Ennis or the Punisher, I think that is the character at his best and the writer at his best right now. So check that out in trades or in single issues.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the Punisher Max series also. Just about every time I read one of the issues, I keep thinking, yeah, this should have been the movie.
Yes.
You know, this should have been the script that they used for the movie. But the Widowmaker series, and I talked to you about this, and I'm not going to get into it, but there I had some problems with the story. While I enjoyed it, there was part of me that kind of went, well, should I have enjoyed it as much, you know, for various reasons, mostly because it deals with this woman and the female characters and how they're portrayed in the book. But like I said, I don't want to get into it so much. The one thing about Garth Ennis, especially on this series, he always makes me think. Mm-hmm. After, you know, it's like he's always dealing with very difficult situations and very horrible things that happen in the world, in our real world. You know what I mean? This isn't about necessarily, you know, things that are happening so far-fetched from reality. You know, he deals with whether it's, you know, slave rings and prostitution and whatever it may be, the worst of humanity. But these things exist. You see them in the newspaper. You see them on the news. It happens all the time. And that's the one thing in this series that I think he's done really well, is sort of making you kind of aware, maybe, of the mentalities and what causes some people to do the things that they do. And also, you know, sort of aware of that these things are happening in the real world. And he always seems to make me think whenever I'm done with an arc. So it is really good stuff. And I think he takes the Punisher from, you know, a character that really turned into, in the 90s, a real, almost a joke, a caricature of the Punisher, and turned him into something a bit more meaty than that, and you know, can relate to real world situations.
Yeah. So happy now.
So Scotty, what's your top of the stack?
No, there's nothing good in the world now. Punisher is depressing. Yeah. I'm just kidding. As always, because I don't read single issues, I finally finished the first trade of Preacher. So, I mean, that's really all I read this week. So.
Oh, from Ennis to Ennis.
Yeah.
Rocks you hard. Like a hurricane.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, so I finished the first Preacher trade, I think the last couple of weeks ago. I put that as my top of stack, but I only read, like, an issue, you know, one issue's worth of the trade. And now I finished all of it, and it's really good. I like it. I'm anxious to get to the second one tonight and start it. I think I didn't really there are some things I didn't expect. There's some questions I still have. Like, I don't want to say questions, but there were some downsides throughout it, like, but I didn't expect them to be searching for the God, mm-hmm. you know, in person form on the earth, which I actually think is great. I like how they approach the whole heaven aspect. And like I said, I know a lot of people have probably read Preacher, but I'm going to talk about it anyway for maybe people who haven't,
sure.
that are out there like me. I like the way they approach heaven, where it's like, you know, factory workers sitting around bitching and complaining about work, like, fuck him, and the saint.
Can you believe we got to move this cloud over here today?
Yeah, they're just, you know, pissed off, angry workers. I like the saint of killers, you know, the guy they wake up, he's just a badass. I do think that a few of the things that I was like, and maybe it's because it's an older comic and I read a lot of stuff in between or whatever, but I didn't really understand why or how they were so, you know, Cassidy obviously is a vampire,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they kind of spring that on you, and they go, all right. You know what I mean? Like, I think that I love all the hardcore...
Well, of course he is.
Well, I like all the hardcore stuff that they put in it, but I want that it almost becomes a little less hardcore because none of it shocks the characters themselves. None of it actually surprises the characters. When you have a weird cast of kids, like a preacher and his ex-girlfriend and just vampire. A random guy that turns out to be a vampire,
uh-huh.
they actually are like, hey, you asshole. What? Oh, shit. You're a vampire. You're a monster, dumbass. I was just like, wow, it doesn't really set up, is this the world? Do people know that this stuff exists?
It's more of those characters. And
when you find out what Tulip and Jesse went through before they got to
trade. And so it'll start to come together.
It will. Okay, but I can absolutely see that. And I think when I'm remembering back when I read it too, it's sort of the same thing because they don't ever...
I felt like I was just...
tell you how to feel about that.
Yeah,
like,
what
you're supposed to be
shocked.
And I like that.
It was
and
dealt
I like
it
that.
With in such a way that I almost... Because I don't know what's coming after, like everybody else already.
The second trade will blow your mind.
I actually was like, I don't know. Is this? I was like, I hope the second trade. I hope it doesn't. It kind of seemed self-indulgent at points because mm-hmm. of those things.
It didn't explain,
like again, why when someone explains that God is on Earth, do you not go? Why is your mind blow? Or instead of like in this book where they go, oh, cool, let's go check him out.
Fuck you, I'm going to drink.
Yeah, let's go find him.
Well, there's certainly, I think, an element of, you know, those characters having to be these sort of badasses. You know what I mean? It's like where nothing would. But once you, I mean, and that's that series, you learn... You just continue to learn more and more about
that's
all
cool.
those characters.
Yeah, that's good. Don't say too much.
No.
But
no.
Yeah, like I said, for this one,
there's some parts that are great.
I think
there's
that's
anything
all. Anything that lasts. I mean, when I sit here and look at 9 volumes of a trade, especially in comic book world, I think I look at 9 volumes like, oh wow, 9 books. But really, I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
9 trades. So each of those books, you know, took a couple years.
There's definitely stories in there that are
and ups and downs.
But overall, it's a really good story. It's really entertaining. But there is, and I think I have that problem with Ennis a lot of times too. It's like it seems sometimes that he does stuff because it's like.
Watch me.
Right, you know what I mean? As opposed to necessarily crafting it for a good story. It's like, this is going to be, you know, fucking crazy. And I think it's going to out-preacher Preacher. Well, that's what I mean. It's like like The Boys, you know. It's like, to me, that whole book has been like, how much can I hate mainstream comics? And you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And how much can I get away with? as opposed to necessarily telling. That's why I think Preacher is one of his best works, is because he puts that stuff in there, but at the same time, there's this really good story.
And during the first trade, I was kind of glad to get near the end when they introduced the two police, the detectives that were following that murder case, finally, because it. And I find this to be true in a lot of writers, where writers tend to write every character from the same attitude or vantage point, where it's like, you know, every character is a smartass. They're, you know, like watching the Gilmore Girls, right? You watch the Gilmore Girls. Every character is clever. So witty, and it's like
there's no idiots,
you know, like,
in this
town. Oh my god!
No,
I already know what you're going to say, and I already got a huge diatribe comeback to go with it. And I felt like that a little bit with I enjoyed.
Everybody's
it,
a hard ass,
but everybody was a hard ass. Cowboy. Everybody was the same attitude. And when you got to the end, I got even a little bit more happy because it had kind of your sad sack, bad luck detective who was just a piece of shit, and he just had no luck at all. Then you had the other side where he was a super hard ass, but of course he's, you know, but a little bit of a little crazy.
Well, you'll like Hairstar.
But
I did. Along as well.
So I had, there was plus and negatives the whole way through. Many more pluses to me. I'm always going to dissect. I mean, even the best stories, I'm always going to find something from a story standpoint that I feel. But this one was definitely. I'm glad to hear that they'll deal with some of that because it almost made me feel like if this is how it's going to keep going, if I'm just going to be expected to believe, like, nah, nobody would be shocked to see, you know.
Well, I don't know that they ever give you an explanation of. It's not necessarily like a clear cut. Here's why.
No, I don't need a why.
You know
but like
what I
you
mean?
Said, if
but
you, see
you
what
learn more.
For, I'll realize. Again, it's not about why he's a vampire.
Those
why that's able to happen. It's
right.
Why is nobody surprised? I mean, right now, if Tom looked at me and went, "Hey, baby," and fangs popped out and he went to bite my neck, and you guys
I
just
was
went,
going to.
"Oh, that's crazy. You want to eat?"
Well, here,
you know,
I think this has been a great conversation.
Yes.
But I also think it would be great. To pull a 75% vertigo sweep. And this faker.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
thank
you,
Tom. I didn't want to go too long.
So, Preacher.
Preacher.
It's easy to go.
Preacher.
All right. My top of the stack is a vertigo book, Faker number one.
75%, baby.
From Mike Carey and and Junk.
Pick Max.
I want Exterminators to be my top of the stack.
What's your book called? Faker?
Faker.
Faker.
Faker. And I had no idea what it was. I picked it up because it was Mike Carey and Jock. Who worked on stuff before?
Charles, everything.
And the guy's all over the place. But this story, I had no real expectations of it. Faker number one, didn't know. And when you first start reading it, when I first started reading it, it's about this young, pretty college student who seems to be very manipulative. And, it starts off with her trying to set someone up, one of her professors, to, you know, basically con him and this kind of stuff. And so that's, you know, probably about halfway through the story, I was sort of like, oh, okay, you know, this is kind of interesting, the art's good, and it's going to be about this sort of horrible young college student, doing horrible things to people, and then something will come around. But then, like, about halfway through the book, it sort of changed, and you started to meet her friends, college roommates, different people, and they sort of are coming back for the new semester, that kind of thing. And then there's this whole other element introduced into the story about, you know, the title, you know, the Faker, and it's maybe supernatural, it may be. You're not really sure, and by the end of it, I was like, "Wow, that was a lot more interesting." And now I'm excited about finding out the next book, or finding the next issue and seeing where this story goes. It's definitely an adult book, as far as that goes. But the story was, like I said, it was just more. I was more interested because it was sort of. Here's kind of what you think it's going to be, and then I'm going to flip it on you, and it still makes sense, but it's maybe something different. You're not sure, and it really left a lot to the imagination. I don't at the end of it, I didn't know you know, I don't have all the answers to it. I don't really know what's going to go on with this. I have no idea what's coming next, and I really enjoyed that about it. But at the same time, the story that was told was interesting. The characters were interesting, getting to know them. They're not necessarily good characters. They're not, you know, there doesn't seem to be any heroes in this story at this point. But overall, it was an interesting first issue, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
So I'll look forward to the trade.
I'm really glad that Jock is back on a monthly, because I love his sequential
Jock
work.
Green Arrow, your one's coming out
next
week,
too. Yeah, I can't, like, I don't... There are certain artists out there that will, you know, in my lifetime, I will have probably said... I never said this, but I will say it now. I probably would have never in my life picked up Green Arrow, ever.
Yeah.
But I will pick up the trade.
When Andy Diggle,
because
Jock.
Of Jock, yeah. I mean, Andy Diggle, I really like him too, but Jock is what's
losers.
Doing it for me.
If you haven't read The Losers.
I have The Losers. I haven't started it yet.
Oh,
I got to
do
it.
I have the first trade.
God, it's so good.
Oh,
so
give
good.
Me a minute.
All right,
speaking
so that, of losers. That is a, well, no, that is a... that
is losers, a, we have email.
Well, no, but
oh, snap. What?
I'm sorry.
I'm about slamming on the...
I didn't put it in the notes because I made a mental note. That's a look at our favorite books from this week, but we need to look at what's coming out this week.
Because, why?
Oh, because it's time for Future Stacks.
There you go. Future Stacks. All right. This is Future Stacks, which is a title I love. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week. This is by no means a complete list of stuff, but just a few books that are coming out. From Dark Horse, we got Martha Washington Dies. This is a one-shot from Frank Miller, Dave Gibbons. 24 pages, $3.50. I guess she's going to die. Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Feedback, number one. Yeah. I just
get
next. Yeah.
Is that from the TV show?
Yeah, yeah.
They're making a fucking...
yeah, that was
are.
The whole deal, Scott.
I missed that whole awesome train.
All right, DC Comics, Friday the 13th, Pamela's Tale, number one.
DC?
Mark and Dre. Well, it's Vertigo.
Oh, wow.
Mark and Dranko and Dustin Nguyen and Sean Maul are doing that. I really just threw that in there because Mark and Dranko. He's but I didn't.
Read Manhunter.
There you go. Green Arrow Year One, we were talking about that. Jock, Andy Diggle. Green Lantern 21, the first chapter of the Sinestro Corps.
Jeff Johns, Ivan Reis, I believe.
Yes, it is. And then we got Superman 664 is coming out, Kurt Busiek. Written by Kurt Busiek, art and covered by Carlos Pacheco and Jesus Marino. This just continues the storyline of the whole Orion or Arian of Atlantis thing that's been going on in that. But that's been a really good book, the Superman 6 series. Consume number one, a new miniseries coming from Image. This just kind of looked interesting. When nerdy Oliver falls in love with beautiful Casey, he has no idea that she's been marked by her ex-boyfriend Gavin to be possessed by Cavalith, Lord of Chaos. So I thought it sounded pretty kind of interesting. Dust Number One is another new series from Image. It's kind of explained as the Dirty Dozen versus robot zombies and more. How can you go wrong?
Hey, there you go.
Marvel Comics, Annihilation Conquest, Wrath, number one. Civil War Chronicles. Only reason I wanted to mention this is a reprint of Civil War Frontline number one, Civil War number one, and a couple other Civil Wars like they did before with New Avengers and Illuminati, where they reprinted.
It's not new.
This is not a new issue. So Civil War Chronicles, it's $4.99, and it's reprints all that stuff, but it's not a new issue. So don't think it is. Deadpool. GLI, Summer Fun Spectacular, 48 pages, Dan Slott, Fabian Nicieza. I figured that would Great Lakes Initiative and Deadpool.
It'd be funny.
Fantastic Five, number one. This is the new miniseries from Tom DeFalco and Ron Lim, who's fucking awesome, Ron Lim. Punisher War Journal, number nine. More Matt Fraction, Ariel Olivetti, good stuff. Part four of the Blood and Sand storyline. World War Hulk, Gamma Corps, number one. Frank Thierry, Carlos Ferreira. Oni Press, Stephen Colbert's Tech Jansen.
Yeah.
Number one is finally coming out.
I think we're going to talk with...
Stephen Colbert?
With Robbie Rodriguez and is it Jim Maffey?
I don't have the name.
I believe that's who's been. And yeah, we've been emailing back and forth, so we may talk to them about Tech Jansen coming up soon.
Nexus number 99, Nexus Returns, Baron and Rude. We've been talking about that forever.
Pick it up.
It's coming up next week. Yes, definitely. Nicolas Cage's Voodoo Child Hierapia. I can't even pronounce it. Hierapia.
You don't need to pronounce it to buy it. It's on Future Stacks.
That's right.
The pronunciation keys.
Written
wallet.
By Mark Carey, and the only thing that could save this is it's written by Mark Carey.
Not Nicolas Cage.
I don't think Nick's,
he presents it. He's Tom Kidder's
his and his son. Him and his son created it.
Have you seen his son
for around time?
DC,
why are you fucking with people's looks?
I'm
man?
Not.
Just because he doesn't have abs like us, baby.
DC. Okay, now we got some trades. Clubbing, which is another of the Minx line, a new Minx line book from. This is Andy Watson and Josh Howard. $9.99, 176 pages. Elric, Making of a Sorcerer trade paperback. Michael Moorcock art and Walter Simonson written. That trade's coming out. Hellblazer, The Red Right Hand. This collects Hellblazer 224 through 228.
Is this the Andy Dickel stuff?
No, this is Denise Mina.
Okay.
And Leonardo Manco. Showcase Presents Batgirl Volume 1. 552 pages, $16.99. This is the old, you know, old Batgirl stuff.
Early
John
Byrne stuff,
Carmine Infantino, Gil Kane, that good stuff. Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters trade. This is the new series by Palmiotti and Gray. 208 pages, $14.99. Image Comics has some graphic novels. Black Cherry. I just thought this was kind of funny sounding. Donna's luck mafioso Eddie Peretti is so desperate for cash, he's agreed to steal a dead body from his own mob boss. Things only get worse when he discovers the body isn't human.
Doug Minotaur body.
24/7 Volume 2.
Spoilers?
I love 24/7.
Yeah, and so the Volume 2 is coming out.
Oh, that comes out this week?
Well, I had different reports. One site told me it came out this week, and then another one told me. So I put it in there. I think it's coming. Yeah, I know. It's Jack Kirby Silver Star hardcover is coming out from Image. Sam and Twitch, the Brian Michael Bendis collection, Volume 2, for all you Sam and Twitch fans.
I never read that. Was that good stuff?
Some of it. This is collects issues 10 through 19.
Bring in endorsement.
Hey,
Future Stacks covers everything.
Marvel,
not what you won't like.
Marvel. Well, no, I mean, so for me personally, it's okay. But you know, I know people are big fans of
maybe
it.
Maybe they'll sponsor the show now. So with that yeah, awesome.
Maybe Ben.
You know, for me, it's all right.
Well,
I guess.
You know, I don't know.
If I got nothing else, and I'm on the shitter.
From Marvel, we got Hulk Visionaries. Peter David Volume 4 trade. So if you want to check out some of that cover by John Byrne. Next Wave Agents of Hate Volume 2, I Kick Your Face, premiere hardcover coming out, which is good stuff. Next Wave's an awesome comic. Punisher Max trade paperback Volume 5. This is the Slavers arc.
We talked about
really
that a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. That's a great, great arc.
Squadron Supreme, Hyperion versus Nighthawk, which was Mark Guggenheim, Paul Galassi. That was a really good miniseries, mm-hmm. if you like this whole Squadron Supreme.
That was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was... Thanks. Ringing endorsement.
I liked
it. Okay.
And then Wonder Man, My Fair Superhero trade from Peter David. I know there's a lot of Wonder Man fans out there. Virgin had a couple of trades that are coming out. Ramayan, Volume 1, and the Sadhu, Volume 1 are coming out from Virgin. And that's about it. That's about everything. There's, I'm sure, plenty more that I didn't mention, but that was enough. More than enough.
So go to your local
comic
shop.
There's just some stuff,
comics.
Yeah, that are coming out, so...
take a look.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the look at...
That's Future Stacks!
I've
embraced the lameness of that name.
How does it feel to have just stepped into the future and seen what you will love?
Yeah.
Or think it's okay.
it's okay.
Okay.
It's
all right. Whatever.
Or Sal, who actually opened up his legs and gave birth to that idea, which is Future
Before
Stacks.
You all corrupted it and turned it into the vial.
And we do have some emails this week, so I'm going to start us off.
You're going to do the first one?
Oh, I'll start us off. Say, fellas.
Oh, I turned your mic off.
This is from... Turn my mic off.
Let me put that
this
back
is
up.
From Ryan Stegman, who is the artist of Magician Apprentice.
Very handsome.
Yes.
Very
yes.
handsome.
Which is the...
Who puts that out?
Very tall.
Dable Brothers from Marvel.
Oh,
your
okay.
company?
Yeah, and Ryan, great guy, donated a lot of artwork in New York for the hero donations that we did.
Okay.
Ryan, very, very nice guy. And he writes in and says, say, fellas, and he's very
isn't
talented
he the bastard
artist.
Who started off the whole
Alan
Moore
book?
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. Sometime in the future, when
months.
Scotty Young or Mike Norton or any of the amazing artists, is Burnham still here?
Yeah. He is.
Hey, Burnham!
He said amazing.
Yeah, he's not.
Sorry, no problem.
Good lord.
Right. Any of the amazing artists you have on the show are on. Could you ask them on the air what their process is for creating pages? The things I like to know are the stuff like how tight they go with their layouts or thumbnails, if they draw the page smaller first and then go to their final board later, and anything else they want to add. These are the types of things that really interest me and I think would be valuable information for any aspiring artist. Please do it for me. For little old me. Thanks, Ryan Stegman. So, Mr. Young, what is your process for layouts and getting stuff down on boards?
It's mostly prayer, right?
Yeah, I talk to the Lord, and he does it for me. No, honestly, well, first, thanks, Ryan, for the kind words. But you know what? Honestly, it...
Well, maybe, technically, it wasn't... He said Scotty Young, Mike Norton, or any of the amazing artists. So you might not technically be amazing.
Well, everybody else is amazing, but I'm fucking awesome.
Okay.
Remember fuckingawesome.com.
All right, go.
No, as far as the process goes, honestly, I almost think it should just be like a show in itself. Or it's not something... It really is a pretty lengthy process. Maybe sometime I'll actually, maybe I'll get Norton to come over and we'll throw my video camera on and do a little quick thing and actually show you. Because it's, for me, there's a lot of steps that I take from the thumbnail to the finished page that I'd hate to just rush through for. So maybe if the guys are cool with it, we'll attach a little video at some point or talk about it a little bit more on another show. But I'd be glad to let you know. Because I'm desperate
for content, so.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that, yeah.
I'm sure we'll have no problem fitting that into our hectic talking about bullshit news.
Yeah, so, but I think I'm the same exact way as Ryan is. I still will email artists that I've become friends with and what kind of pencil you use and what paper are you using. So I definitely think it's an interesting thing for the aspiring artists out there to know all the different ways. I know Norton does things a little different than me, and mm-hmm. I do a little different than so and so, and it's different for everybody. But
we're kind of talking about it today at work. Sal and I, it's kind of like a baseball player's batting stance. You know, it's, everyone is different.
Right.
You know, and it just kind of depends on. You know, on how you got into it and whatnot. Yeah. We're artists, but kind of.
Yeah, so, yeah, like I said, maybe I'll throw my video camera on in the studio and.
Hey, there you go.
Show a little thing.
Be the first Around Comics video cast.
You guys ever done video before?
No, we've never done.
Oh, what's up, dinosaurs?
Yeah, I know. We're living in
retro.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Next, we have another.
Video's
email.
A dead medium, man. Yeah. It's.
Hey, fellas. Episode 114 was pretty great. No offense to Chris.
Yeah.
It was so great, in fact, that I'm sending you this $10 million. No. Attached cover art to a non-existent comic book. Is that the cilantro?
Yeah.
Inspired by some stupid crap that Scotty said. And I made it work, which goes to support Tom's assertion that government employees can't be fired. Anyway, love the show. Thanks for giving me another way to neglect my job and loved ones. Mappy. P.S. I fucking hate Scotty Young and want him to go to hell. But on second thought, he's awesome. I would not want to live in a world without him.
What did I say at the opening of the show, fellas?
That you're exactly right, man.
You fucking hate me,
like
but wait. Now you love me.
And if you, you know, Thanks for liking the last show. If you hate this one, email chris@aroundcomics.com.
Thank you, Sal. Why don't you read our last email?
Well, and remember, well, tell everybody, he did actually send in a drawing
of the cilantro core.
It's on our forum on the episode 114 page, so you can check it out. Yeah, it was very funny. This was, hey guys, I just wanted to drop you a line and tell you that Future Stacks rocks.
With an X.
In fact, I think this should only be the first of several new stacks. For example, how about Tom's Quarter Stacks, where Tom tells us his favorite quarter books from the week? Or Queen and Country Stacks, where Chris tells us his favorite or three favorite Queen and Country issues that week.
Why is it fucking 3 a.m. stacks? And why can't I go home stacks?
I'm so tired.
It's not my fault. I'm pissing myself. I'm so drunk stacks.
What is it?
Listen.
Do you have a weak bladder? No, you talk about pissing yourself an awful lot, my friend. I'm concerned.
Let me tell you. Fetish. It's not about weak bladder. Why can't I like golden showers?
When we get to the camp story episode, and we'll deal with Scotty's urine fixation. Until then.
Hold it.
That'll be for the video cast.
No more stacks. We have enough stacks.
Some people laugh, and I piss.
Scotty Young's urine stack.
Everybody has different reactions to life, man.
So that was right on the blue line from O'Hare.
That's my smell.
Yeah. That was from Eric Houston.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank
you. Urine stack.
Although I do kind of like the idea of the quarter book.
Have to read one a week.
Maybe you do it once a month.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you do once a month and go,
I'll just pick
here's
one
some quarter books.
I'll talk about whatever.
It's not going to be around comics anymore. You guys are going to have a spin-off show like Grey's Anatomy is now spinning off.
Is it?
Around Comics is going to spin off and do a Stacks.
Do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
Around Comics?
Do you like that show?
I watch everything. No, it actually around pisses comics. Me off.
That's what I don't understand. I loved the first season.
The second season pissed me off, and the third season really fucking pissed me off.
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you write a letter to the editor?
In addition to emailing the show, there are other ways that you can interact. One of those is our hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, and there you go. We'll play it on the show.
Maybe.
You can also join our friend of the program, Friends of the Program, where you can go to aroundcomics.com, download and print out our LCS Challenge Flyer, ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, we'll send us an email. We'll mention it on the show, as well as put a link to it on our websites. Also, you can visit us at myspace.com/aroundcomics. What's the other one?
ComicSpace.
ComicSpace.com/aroundcomics.
Or you can also...
Frapper.com/aroundcomics.
We have a couple Frapper members.
We do have some new Frapper members that joined us this week.
Timmy Wood from Houston, Texas says, that's right, representing the AC Love from Houston.
Yeehaw. And,
Houston's the fattest city in America, so...
Really?
Timmy...
Congratulations.
You beat out Chicago, which I think was number three.
We also have Yorko from Mexico City, Mexico, and he said, love the show. He also was on our Introduce Yourself forum, and he had a link to his blog page, which was yorko.blogspot.com, and he was a pretty damn talented artist down there in Mexico City.
There's another pretty darn talented artist down in Mexico City, isn't there?
Umberto down there? Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I hear Vicente Fox is also a hell of an artist.
I live in Edgewater. Here in Chicago.
Doesn't quite have the same sexy...
No, it doesn't, actually.
You can also leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah, because that's... Chris loves the iTunes review.
More than any of us.
He sleeps with the iTunes review.
It's true.
Thanks to Inga Lizard up to no good. David Myers, Cammy Knoxville, Go UT, Ecola, and Jerk from Pod 6.
What is that? Is that a joke about something? I don't know.
Jerk from Pod 6?
Jerk from Pod 6? Is that a Star Wars reference? No, I know that, but is that like a Star Wars reference? Or
Jerk from Pod 5 was a very unpopular Bill Cosby show in the 70s.
All right. That makes
complete... It was a very unsuccessful Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movie.
Yeah, their 10th.
Jerk from Pod 7.
You can also check out all the great things that Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best in kind of comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We also have a great forum, so go there and check it out. Thank you again to Borders for sponsoring this episode. Help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks. The Mouse Guard was formed in this first volume. Saxon, Kenzie, and Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble onto much more than they had ever bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's Breakthrough Series Mouse Guard at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at BorderStores.com.
Sell both boys
Borders
and girls.
Is not a boy, it's a corporation.
Yeah. Yes, a big one.
We would also like to talk about the Hero Initiative. We are proud to support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need financial medical... Oh, God. Who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given it so much enjoyment. For more information, visit HeroInitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and ask for money for a cab home.
And here's the big moment that everyone has been waiting for. We had our Be a Hero contest the last 6 weeks or so, where we asked people to donate to the Hero Initiative, and if they did, they would be entered into a drawing for a prize pack consisting of great signed and signed, numbered, sketched in,
stamped.
One of a kind, Jeffrey Brown. I'm going to be small hardcover edition. We've got a hardcover Scotty Young sketchbook that you'll be able to, I guess, request a sketch.
That he's going
to
pee on for you?
Yeah, let's not go over the fucking top here, folks.
Okay, it'll be a stock sketch that Scotty...
A stamp.
No.
It's going to be a sketch of Scotty by Scotty.
It's actually, it's goddamn shrink-wrapped, so I'm not... It won't even have fingerprints on it. No, I'll open it up and do something, I guess.
Mike Norton did a Fallen Sun limited edition sketch. We've got Chris Burnham and Tim Seeley. So a bunch of great stuff. We also have
Tim Seeley agreed to do something.
Scotty.
We're doing it now.
Yeah. All right, everyone that donated, thank you so much. We raised almost $600 for girls. And Scotty, why don't you pick out our first winner?
Oh, we get multiple winners.
We'll take out one.
Only one.
And this is our grand prize winner.
And the winner is?
And the winner is, if you can believe it.
Yes.
Brock.
No, there it is.
Really? Yes. It's totally rigged because his wife is hot.
Braxton made a very healthy.
Yes. He did.
I'm going to pick the
next
one.
Well, you're going to pick out probably Braxton.
Braxton.
Because he dumped a bunch of money Hero's way, so.
Do, 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 do. The next winner.
And winner of a $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades.com.
Jack Hoover.
Good Lord. Really?
He's dead. We can't give him the pet prize.
God, wait till trade number two. It'll explain why we shouldn't be shocked.
This note burned down 20 years ago. It's actually Trevor Pearson.
Yay, Trevor! Thank you.
Guys, fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the help.
So Braxton gets the big pack?
Braxton gets... Yeah.
So you gotta do him a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
It's on now, Braxton.
It's gonna be you doing his wife.
Oh. It's not gonna be a sketch. It's gonna be video.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah,
Braxton.
Well, I'd like to thank all those contributors.
Scotty's
to Hero.
A hero.
I'd also like to thank everyone on the panel today. Sal, Scotty, Tom, the ghost of John Suntress.
Braxton's wife.
Oh, come on.
Wife,
all right.
That's enough.
Hey, married people, take it down
easy,
a notch.
Easy.
They're just mad because they're like, oh, my God, that could really happen. Scotty's abs are sweet.
He's not.
He might creep into my life.
Scotty was one of the 300 Spartan soldiers.
Braxton's going to have a nightmare where Scotty's like on the window ledge with his rippling.
Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll be back again on Thursday with our talk about music and comics and comics and music and all sorts of fun stuff. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around Braxton's life.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com. or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah.